Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stay with me. It will be a time of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And we do it without any manipulation. That's right. We don't try to con you. We're not trying to lure you into something. We're certainly not going to ask you for any money. We're not going to solicit you to join anything. This show is simply to give you some information. Not human speculation, but accurate information. Information that comes from the Bible. That's right. It is a show about the Bible. But wait a minute. Don't turn me off yet. We're not going to jump up and down and holler and rant and rave. But we are going to give you some information that will help you verify and perhaps even identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're interested, then you always have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. But this show, The Flatline, is always growing, always changing, always moving. One announcement we're going to make, we're going to be going off the air in Springfield, Missouri. Those of you that listen in Springfield, Missouri, will be able to continue to hear any show you wish by going to rickhughesministries.org on the internet, and you can listen to any of the shows there. Or if you have an iPhone or an Android or a tablet, you can simply say Rick Hughes Ministries, and that device will locate our mobile website, and you can listen to any show there. But we are moving now, looking for some other cities in the areas that we'd like to move and expand into. And we are going to be leaving the Springfield area. Been a wonderful time there, a wonderful station that we've enjoyed our contacts with. So let's move on now and let's talk about what we're covering. Remember, The Flatline is a series of 10 unique problem-solving devices, something that my pastor, Bob Thieme, taught me many, many years ago. These 10 problem-solving devices make up a forward line of troops. That's FLOT, F-L-O-T, forward line of troops. And this forward line of troops helps you to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside source of stress. Remember that adversity is inevitable in life, but stress is optional. And as a Christian, you have the most unique assets in the world. No one in the world has the assets that you have. The Christian life is a very unique supernatural life. It's called a spiritual life. And when you live your spiritual life under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, and when you metabolize the Word of God so that you operate under the mechanics taught in the Word of God, then you acquire what is said to be the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You think like He thinks. And you're able to live and exist in the devil's domain and actually go to a place in your life where you don't worry, where you don't have to be afraid, where you never have to be angry and you never have to be bitter, where you have complete trust and faith in God's provisions and plan and promises for your life. It's a wonderful supernatural life, but it can only be lived under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul said in Ephesians that you have been indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. So anyone that's a Christian today listening to me, God the Holy Spirit lives in you. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians when he said, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of God the Holy Spirit?" He lives in you. And the objective of the Holy Spirit living in you is to empower you so you can have victory over your old sin nature. Anyone who's not a Christian doesn't have any way to overcome the old sin nature. They simply have a body and they have a soul, and that's all they have. Not you. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a reborn human spirit that's indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. Yes, God the Holy Spirit lives inside of your dead human spirit. Your human spirit is born again, and you're spiritually alive. A person that's not a Christian is not spiritually alive. He does not have the Holy Spirit living in him. He's dead spiritually. So you are alive spiritually, and now you have options. You have the option to allow God the Holy Spirit to control your life, and you are mandated in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. You're mandated in Galatians to walk in the Spirit. And this is where the power comes from, because the Holy Spirit in John 16 will lead you and guide you into all truth. And here's something I've learned that's very interesting. If the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead you and guide you into all truth, and you are living a lie, you're living something that's not true, then obviously He didn't lead you there. You led yourself there. And if it gets into the area of false doctrine, things that aren't true doctrinally, then the Holy Spirit could not possibly have led you there. Because John 16, He says He will not lead you into a lie, but He will only lead you into truth. And so now we have to figure out, well, who is living in the lie? Because the Holy Spirit's not a liar. And so here's where the conflict comes in. If you are filled with the Spirit, and if you learn God's Word consistently, then you are able to replicate the life of Christ and reproduce the image of Christ inside of you, so that when people see you, they see Christ. They see the way He thought. They see the way He acted. They see His temperament. They see His intentionality, His personality in you. And that's why Philippians says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. So when we study these 10 problem-solving devices, make no mistake about it. These are things that our Lord Jesus Christ lived by. He lived by these things, and He passed these things on to us. Did the Lord Jesus Christ ever have to rebound problem-solving device number one? No, because He never sinned. But did He use the filling of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Look at Matthew 4. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Did He use a faith rest drill? Yes. He quoted Scripture when He was being tempted, Matthew 4. And was He oriented to God's Word? Yes, He constantly quoted Scripture. He constantly told the Pharisees and the scribes what the Bible said, and His disciples, what the Bible said about them and what the Old Testament said about Him. Yes, He knew Scripture. And here is our mandate from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15. This is the problem-solving device called biblical orientation. And we are reviewing these for you. I want you to remember them. And I want you to remember that we have a book that lists all of these Christian problem-solving devices in the book. So you can have it in front of you, put it in your Bible, and use it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These are Paul's words to Timothy, one of his proteges, and this is what he told him. And we can apply this to our life also. We start off with a verb, and it's the verb study, that's a verb. And in the morphology of the Greek New Testament, that is an aorist active imperative. The imperative is the mood of command. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, we are commanded to study God's Word. The word spoudazo in the Greek, S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. Study is the word spoudazo. Study to show ourselves approved. So if you can be approved, then you possibly could also be disapproved. Disapproving would be you getting into something that's not correct. You going down the my way highway under control of your old sin nature. And God the Holy Spirit would convince you or convict you of that. And so you are to study to show yourself approved by rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing is a word that we use in our English language. It's the word orthotomeo, O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O, orthotomeo. That's the Greek word, and it means to cut straight. We have orthodontist, make your teeth straight. Orthodontist comes from ortho to meo, to set straight. And rightly dividing means to teach Scripture accurately. Timothy, you are to teach Scripture accurately. Every pastor is under this command, to study, to show himself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can Bible study cause division? The answer is yes. People study for the wrong reasons in the wrong way. Some teach with a hidden agenda. Some build a clique. Some teach from ignorance, not really knowing what the languages say. And some claim that they have extra biblical revelation. And there's no way that that could ever happen according to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. So if God told us to be careful, if God told us to get it straight, then God must have known that a pastor could possibly mess it up. You could mess it up. Yes, we could get it wrong. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. The very strong Greek negative, ouk, God is not. Ouk, he is not the author of confusion. Confusion means instability or disorder or disturbance. So any teaching of God's word that causes confusion, instability, disorder, disturbance, distraction, usually is wrong. Now, you know, when the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it goes on to say, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The Bible says we're all to be one mind together in Ephesians 4. When we're not one mind, when somebody believes one thing and somebody else believes something else, we cannot both be right. Somebody's wrong. And again, the Holy Spirit is the author of truth. He leads us into truth. And so sometimes it's interesting to find people who say, the Holy Spirit led me here at one point in my life, but now the Holy Spirit's leading me over here. So what they are saying is the Holy Spirit now changed his mind. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want them to believe what they used to believe, but he wants them to believe something different now. By the way, the very next verse from 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, let your women keep silent in the church. Unfortunately, sometimes that's where a lot of the problems originate. But the Bible never contradicts itself. God is not unfair. God does not get emotional, not like you and I do. God doesn't have emotions. We have emotions. God doesn't operate under emotions. Now, I know you're saying, well, I know in the Bible where it says God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. Yes, it does say that, but sometimes you need to know the difference between an anthropomorphism and an anthropopathism. And that is not God having emotion, which you're reading in that passage. God doesn't operate on emotion. God is absolutely justice. God is absolutely righteousness. God made and created all things. And so God doesn't clap his hands and get happy when you do the right thing. And when you do the wrong thing, God's not sitting there with a frown on his face and upset at you. I cannot always presume to speak for God. It's not my job except to quote Scripture. That's the mind of Christ. I can say that. And I can tell you this in 1 Peter 3:18, as far as being biblically oriented, the Bible says we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We had one verb in that last passage that said we're to study. Now we have another verb here that says we are to grow. Both of these verbs are in the imperative mood in the Greek New Testament. Both spoudazo and this word, oxano, both are imperative moods. This means to grow and to increase and to become greater. To become greater in what? The passage says, grow in the grace. So we need to learn about our grace blessings and our grace assets, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what a lot of people don't understand. Learning about the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most critical things you could do, because your life is molded and motivated by Him. Molded after Him and motivated by Him. So when we're talking about grace, well, first of all, we have saving grace. The Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest someone should brag about it." Saving grace is in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We also have living grace in Colossians 1, 16, where God handles all of the logistics you need. Matthew 6 talks about this. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He said He would add all the logistics you need to survive in the devil's world. There's also dying grace. In Job 5, 19 through 27, you are promised, as a mature believer, if you're growing in grace, that God will not pluck you. He will not take you like an ear of corn, plucking an ear of corn, before you are completely ripe. God will not take you too soon. But the Bible also tells us that if you as a believer get out of fellowship with God, under control of your sin nature, and you do not confess the sin and recover from the sin, that you can move into warning discipline, intense discipline, and yes, even dying discipline. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5 talks about dying discipline. You can read it for yourself. Hebrews 12, 6 through 10 talk about dying discipline. You can read it for yourself. As our Heavenly Father on occasion does, some believers, He takes them home sooner than they should go. He doesn't send them to hell. You don't lose your salvation. God doesn't take it back. But you do not finish your time on this earth because you did not redeem the time. You didn't spend that time as God intended for you. You got out of His will. You got out of fellowship. And you suffered and you died prematurely. One of the promises of Ephesians is, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on this earth. Right there in those verses is connected the principle to living a long time, and that's coming to respect authority of your parents. Without authority orientation, many young people die way too soon. So the Bible is clear about this, that it may be well with you and you can live a long time on this earth. There are a lot of ways you can shorten your life. You can shorten your life by the sin of death. You can shorten your life when you mismanage your health and abuse your body. Just yesterday morning, I managed to sneak away for a little bit of fishing, and I saw a young lady in a fast food place, and it was obvious she was on drugs, and it was obvious what was going on in her life. And it was pitiful. And there was no way you could help her. I mean, you could give her money, she'd just go buy drugs. She was not willing to change. And many, many people abuse their body through drugs, through alcohol. And you can abuse your body by eating too many chickens, too. By overeating, the sin of gluttony. And we all have to watch that one, don't we? So, we can abuse our bodies and sometimes move under the sin unto death by running with the wrong crowd. And some stupid idiot you get to hanging out with makes a stupid decision, and it costs you your life. I had that happen to me in high school with driving with a friend one night that decided he wanted to go around a curve about 100 miles an hour and see if his car could handle that. Well, we didn't crash. We made the curve. But not at 100, because I was slamming my foot on top of his foot on the brake. And then as soon as I got the thing stopped, I got out of the car. So we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are two words for knowledge in the Bible, and this is something a lot of people miss. In the Greek New Testament, there is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And then there's also another word, epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. The difference in these two words is the difference between hearing and keeping. When you have gnosis, you have heard something, you understood it, but it hasn't helped you. When you have epinosis, epi is a preposition meaning full. When you have epinosis, you heard it, you understood it, and you applied it. See the difference? See, a lot of people, the Bible says a little bit of knowledge puffeth up. I've heard people quote that verse. That's right. If all you have is knowledge with no application, then you wind up being an arrogant smart aleck because you think you're smarter than everybody else. Epinosis is what you need. It's what I have to have. So when we sit under a well-qualified pastor and he teaches us the Bible, God the Holy Spirit, who's the author of truth, identifies it as truth. And then it comes into our mind, into our thinking, into our memory center mind. And here it's called gnosis. Now, once we understand it, we either believe it by faith and apply it, or we reject it by arrogance and don't use it. We don't go there. If you hear it and understand it but don't use it, it's gnosis. If you hear it, understand it by faith, it becomes epinosis. That's the difference in the word knowledge. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My pastor has been doing a study on the life of Christ. By the way, you can tap into this study. It's free. It costs nothing. All you have to do is call and order the DVDs or the MP3s. But this study in the life of Christ is going on 800 hours. That's right. 800 hours. You say, how could anybody study Jesus Christ for 800 hours? Well, I have news for you, my friend. That's just scratching the surface. And so when you study the life of Christ and the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that he identified with, the decisions that he made, the people that opposed him, what happened at the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension, when you study his birth and his entrance into this world and who he is and where he came from and where he went, you don't study that in 4 or 5 hours. The reason you study this is to learn. You see, what the disciples bought into was not what they got. They thought they were going to walk into the kingdom, and they thought they were going to be big shots in the kingdom. They wound up being wanted criminals. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the one they loved and followed, wound up being a number one criminal, wanted guy number one. And the scribes and the Pharisees stopped at nothing until they were able to convince Pilate to crucify him. And this was the Father's plan all along. There was only one way you and I could go to heaven, and that is that someone had to pay for our sin. We are not capable of paying for it. That's why the Bible says there are none that are righteous, not even one. And so in spite of what we would like to do, there is no way that an imperfect human being with a sin nature can ever appease the justice of God. Because what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God will judge every time. So if you would like to be as righteous as God and go to heaven and have fellowship with God, there's only one way to do it. The Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. The way you get to God is through Jesus Christ, and that's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to have eternal life, you must have absolute righteousness to live and rule and reign with an absolute God. And you can't manufacture that absolute righteousness because you're flawed. You're infected with a sin nature. The Bible clearly says, for by one man sin came into the world and death by sin. And now death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So how can I become absolutely righteous? Only through Jesus Christ. When I come to the cross and I believe in Him and receive Him as my Savior, He gives me His righteous standings, and He took my sin on Him well over 2,000 years ago. The cross is judgment. He was judged for me. And when I come to Jesus Christ and I receive Him, I have forgiveness. I am born again, made alive spiritually. God the Holy Spirit comes to indwell me. And now I'm capable of having a relationship with God the Father. Not because I'm good, not because I've joined up, but because the righteousness of Christ is instilled in me. Then God can look at me, and when He sees me, He sees the Son. He sees the righteousness of Christ, because I am in the Son. I'm in the family. I'm adopted into the family. I'm made heir to all that Christ is heir to. It's an amazing, amazing thing. When you are to study the Bible to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, this is why. When you're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this is why. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's telling you that if you learn His plan, if you understand what He's telling you, it's not hard to live the Christian life. It is the most stress-free life in the world. It's a life of no worry, a life of no problems, because you can put it into the Father's hand. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. You don't have to worry about suing somebody. You don't have to worry about getting even. You don't have to worry about what somebody says about you. Let the Lord handle it. He's your Heavenly Father. Just like you would go to your parents as a child because someone mistreated you or someone said something and your parents handled it for you. God handles all your problems. That's what it means to have a flatline, to live behind the protective barrier that is found in God's Word. No stress, no difficulty, no problems, no fear, no worry, no bitterness, no anger. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's Word, and we are children of the King. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning. Springfield, thank you for being with me. I hope you'll continue to listen by means of the internet. Let me hear from you if you'd like to. You can always contact me through the website. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.